All right, as the children go to Sunday school, I invite you to read along if you'd like, or to find in your pew Bibles the passage that we're reading next, which is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're reading from verses 4 through 14, and it's on page 157 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. 157. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your head, on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, Sarah, to Isaac, Rebekah, and to Jacob and Rachel, to give you a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Lord your God you shall fear, God you shall serve, and by God's name alone you shall swear. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are all around you. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, in these moments now ahead, would you speak truth to us in those places that we need to hear truth? God, please don't let me stand in the way of your truth. Would you speak through me, and would you speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O God. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for those of you who are new or visiting, we've been in a sermon series this fall. And today is our last series, or last theme for this series, which is on the seven deadly sins. So we're on the seventh one today, and actually we're going to spend two Sundays on this seventh deadly sin because it's so deadly that I decided we needed at least two weeks on this one. This deadly sin today is greed, I don't know about you, but my sense is that greed in our culture is so commonplace that we hardly even know it's a sin. We live in a capitalist, consumeristic society, and that society, in a way, demands that we be greedy for it to thrive. I was listening to the news the other day in the car. There was a little short clip on business news, and they were talking about Apple, the company, not the actual Apple we eat, but the company, Apple, how Apple had had 51 consecutive quarters of interrupted growth, except in March of this year, that growth stopped, and so all of the Apple investors were going crazy trying to figure out what is stopping the growth, or fewer people are buying the new iPhone and all of that. So they were talking about how these Apple investors were trying to figure out what was going on. And it occurred to me in that moment that, is it ever good that it doesn't grow, that the growth would stop, that that's just okay? I mean, do companies ever think about limits to growth, or if there is ever such a thing as having too much or growing too much? What does growth mean for our environment? Are there limits? Or is growth just the bottom line? Is anyone even thinking about limits and why limits might be important. But the thing to note about greed is that greed doesn't like limits. Greed doesn't like the term enough. When greed is at work, phrases like too much are irrelevant. I was thinking about this, perhaps I know this has been on many of our hearts and minds, what's happening at Standing Rock in North Dakota. Does the Dakota Access Pipeline have anything to do with our nation's capital sin of greed, for example? The construction of the pipeline that is desecrating sacred sites of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, its ceremonial sites, its burial sites, and now the oil pipeline, if completed, would go cross under the Missouri River, which has been the source of drinking water for this tribe for so long. And this struggle to protect the sacred land and the water, even today, in 2016, recalls our nation's history steeped in greed, beginning with Europeans coming and taking and possessing land that was not theirs to take or possess. And these Standing Rock protests are a resistance to that greed that has such deep roots in our country, to take, to possess more, and that there's never enough. Greed doesn't like limits, and when the constant echo in our culture is you can never have enough, there's always something more and new that you can have, it makes it hard to notice when greed is at work in us. I think about this even in my own discernment or the discernment in our family when it comes to money. Questions like, do we have enough as a family? When are we keeping too much? How much do we give away? And if we have excess, do we put more in savings? Or how much, is there a limit to how much we will save so that we can give away? These are all really important questions. And in fact, they are questions of faith. Our budget has something to do with our faith. A budget is a spiritual issue, amen? It is a faith issue, how we think about and use our resources. This is a spiritual matter. Sometimes I look at a dollar bill, and I think, and I wonder, well, I think, no wonder we're so confused. On the dollar bill, on every bill we have, it says, "In God we trust." And it seems to me the irony of all ironies, right? And is it God or is it money that we trust? Surely Jesus didn't really mean it when he said, you know, you need to either choose God or wealth. We could choose both. We have it on our bill. It says, in God we trust, right? No wonder we're so confused. Clearly this is a struggle and we have a lot of questions. And so I want us to begin today with just a reflection on this passage from Deuteronomy. And perhaps this holy wisdom from this passage can help us to begin, have a starting point to think about our struggles with greed. Maybe it can offer us some guidance. Because I do believe that all of us, most of us in here, really are longing to be people who are set free to live out of generosity and gratitude. So our passage from Deuteronomy is really, it's essentially Moses riffing off the first commandment. He's preaching and Moses knows he's not going to make it into the promised land. And so he's giving the people instructions, giving the people something to remember as they're going forward, even though he knows he's not going to get there. And the first thing he says is to say again the first commandment. And he says, you must never forget to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And he says, hear these words, keep the words, recite them, don't stop talking about them and discerning what they mean. Bind them on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, write them on your doorposts. Do all these practices that will help you to never forget this commandment. This is about remembering and keeping this commandment. But then really, Moses really gets going and he starts talking about the dangers of forgetting. The threat of forgetting. When the people enter the promised land, he says, when you come into the land with fine, large cities that you did not build, and houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, and when you use these wells for your water that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, When you've used all this and eaten your fill, you're stuffed with from a good meal, take care, Moses says, that you do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Because Moses knows that forgetfulness often occurs in times of plenty. Forgetting that God brought you out of slavery, and so you must not make slaves of others. Forgetting that God is one who brings people out of bondage, and so you cannot keep others in bondage. Forgetting that all you have is a gift. You didn't build the city. You didn't dig these wells. You didn't plant these trees. You didn't grow this food. The refrain is, you did not, you did not, you did not, you did not. Do not forget what you did not do. Be careful that you don't come to believe that by your own might and by your own power you have gotten where you are. Remember, Moses says, what God did, and remember what you did not do. That is the basis of grace. To remember what God has done and what you have not done, and to receive that. Because if you come to believe that it is by your own might and by your own power and by your own accomplishment and by the illusion of your self-sufficiency, then beware, for you might begin to believe that you are entitled to all this, that this is mine, mine to own, mine to get, mine to have. Entitlement is that demon that people of privilege, I think, especially have to wrestle with. This belief that we have a certain right to privileges or special treatment on the basis of having money or on the basis of our skin color or our gender identity, whatever privilege that is yours to claim, and we all have some kind of privilege. Entitlement is that demon that lingers close by, that says, I deserve this. This is mine. How do we fight that demon of entitlement? Moses says it's by remembering what God has done and what you have not done, and that what you have is all gift. When we practice remembrance, we take the position of being a recipient. If we remember what God has done and what we have not done, we become recipients. And when you are the recipient of a gift, you can enter that place of gratitude. And when you live out of gratitude, your heart can begin to open toward generosity. What we glean from Deuteronomy is that the practice of remembrance is one form of resistance to the sin of greed. And we will explore some of these practices next Sunday, but for now, I want to end and close by reminding us of a way in which we've already been practicing remembrance here at Tabernacle. We've been sharing stories of generosity every week. And we have heard stories shared about our grandmothers, our spouses, our auntie today that Ken shared, people who have taught us about generosity. And when we share these stories, when we remember these saints in our lives, we are using tools to resist our culture of greed. I don't doubt that the names that we will remember in just a moment when we speak those names out loud in our ritual of remembrance, that these names of people are names of those who have also demonstrated generosity in our lives. And these people still help us carry on in our own lives and encourage us in our journeys that are at times so confusing. Remembrance is a fierce weapon in our fight against greed. So let us be the people who heed the call of Moses not to forget. Let us be the people who remember first and foremost that we are to love God with all our heart and soul and strength. And let us remember that not by might nor by my power, but by God's might and by God's power are we here today. And it is God who breathes in you and who gifts you. Let us be willing to become recipients of God's gifts, acknowledging of what God has done and what I have not done. This is grace. To be given a gift without our deserving it, without our earning it. How might we even begin to think and behave differently once we realize that all is gift in the first place? Amen. Amen.